even though touch is a good thing, there are some things that we probably should not touch, like fire, because, you know, that can be kind of painful. Dead people, dead things, unless that's kind of your job, then you might need to touch dead people, but, you know, it's just, you know, gross. But there are some things that we do should, you know, touch, like babies. I mean, if you think I'm wrong, just watch as, you know, Geraldine brings Teresa into the room. Everybody's like, oh, let me touch. And that's a good thing. Yay! Please bow with me. Dearly Father, Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the blessings that we have in you. You are our King and our Savior, and we are so blessed. Lord, we want to become more and more like you. We don't want to sit back and be comfortable in our Christianity. We want to be spurred, we want to be goaded, we want to be drawn ever closer to you. We want to be submitted to your will and your spirit, even though sometimes, Lord, we know that that may be painful. We want to be closer to you. And so we ask for your help, we ask for your guidance, we ask for your spirit to move among us, that you would be praised and glorified in our lives in bigger and better ways. We thank you, we praise you. Pray that you'll be with me at this time, that your word would be proclaimed. Lord, we are so blessed to have the Bible, the story, your revelation that has been written down for us, and Lord, we want to be we want to conform to your will. We thank you and we praise you, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. This morning we're going to be studying from Mark chapter 6, verses 53 through 56. Mark chapter 6, verses 53 through 56. I had to go help a gentleman this morning during class, and so in the confusion, I forgot to put on the mic, so hopefully you can hear me. Jesus has walked on the water. They were struggling against the wind. He told them that they needed to go to Bethsaida. They actually land in a different place, and quite a ways off of where they intended to go. And so that was probably a result of them struggling against the water, the wind. Verse 53. When they had crossed over, they came to the land at Gennesaret and moored to the shore. When they got out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him and ran about the whole country and began to carry here and there on their pallets those who were sick to the place they heard he was. Wherever he entered villages or cities or countryside, they were laying the sick in the marketplace and imploring him that they might just touch the fringe of his cloak. And as many as touched it were being cured. First, we're going to look at the actual physical account. This is a moment in life of Jesus that actually happened, and so we want to keep it in its context. Gennesaret was a populated region, rich in agriculture and fishing. Those of you who are doing the study guide that I put out, I actually made a huge mistake on that study guide, and I completely misled you. Not on purpose. I'd like to stand up here and say that it was, you know, so that, you know, see if you're paying attention. But it was just, I confused the word Gennesaret and Gerasenes, and assumed that he had gone back to that region where the demoniac was healed or the demons were cast out. But that's not the case. This is a completely different region. So I apologize for that. This region was rich in agriculture and fishing. Magdala, which was the chief city, Josephus tells us, had about 40,000 people in residence, 250 boats in their fishing fleet. It was a major city. The region had a lot of crops, Capernaum was on the north end, and that was on the major route between Persia and Israel. And that road also went through this region. It was a fairly populated place. And so Jesus shows up, they dock the boat, and he begins to walk, most likely to Capernaum. People figure out where he's going. And they recognize him, which means to pick out or to know. They say, oh, this is Jesus. And then they begin to run around, gathering up their sick. Try to imagine this. Remember when you were little, this may apply more to us guys, I don't know. Do you remember when you were little and you threw a grasshopper in an ant's nest? And the ants just went nuts? I mean, you're trying to get that ant and take it down before it hopped away? Or maybe you took a stick and stirred it up just to see the ants just go. That's kind of the picture that I get. These people just started running all over the place. And they go and they gather up their sick. And Mark actually uses two different words for sick. The one in verse 55 means weak, powerless. There are a lot of words for illness or sickness. And I think he wants us to understand. You see, they're carrying them on pallets. These are people that could not get to Jesus on their own. They're powerless. They lay them on the streets or on the marketplace. And then the second word for sick means suffering severely. So try to picture this. They've been running all over the place. They've been gathering the sick. They've been lining the streets. These people are laying on pallets. And as Jesus comes along, they're asking him, can we touch just the hem of your garment? Can we just touch the hem of your garment? They probably heard about the woman who had the issue of blood. They probably heard that she was healed just by touching his garment. And so there they are, barely able to move, suffering severely in their illness, and all they want to do is just reach out and touch his garment, convinced that that will heal them. And imploring means to beg and to entreat, and I think we need to see that desperation in their voice. We've seen others. I remember when my aunt was dying of cancer. My uncle was desperate. He took her to Mexico, which was not that far away, but they were doing a treatment there that is illegal in the United States, Laetrile treatments. And he spent a lot of his money. He would have spent it all. He didn't care. He was so desperate just for anything that would make her better. Well, that's where these people are. They're desperate. Anything to stop the suffering. Anything so that they can have some power back in their lives. And they've heard about Jesus. They heard about this man that has that kind of power. So, of course, they're begging. Please. Please, can I just touch your garments? And as many that did are cured, and the word cured is the one that's often translated saved, salvation, and it means to be restored in health in this context, but I think it's significant that this is also the word, because there's another word that means that somebody was healed from an illness. I think it's significant that Mark chose this word. They were saved. Because it also means to be rescued. They were rescued. I also think it's significant to deal with this fact. There's no fake healing here. I get a little bit skeptical. I probably am not the only one in this audience, but I get a little bit skeptical of the faith healing stuff. I do not get skeptical of the power of God, ever.
Amen.
But I get a little skeptical of the faith healing stuff because what I've seen on TV does not match what I read about in the Bible. If they truly had this kind of power, you see, and somebody could say, well, this is Jesus, but Peter had it, Paul had it. Peter just walked down the street and if his shadow touched you, you were healed. If you took Paul's sweat rag, I mean, he's there working his work, and he would wipe his brow with the rag and discard it, and somebody would take it and take it to the person who is sick, and that would heal him or her. I like the movie Leap of Faith. Steve Martin plays a faith healer. Fake as fake can be. His bus breaks down in this city, a small little town, and he decides, it's so small that they can't get the part to fix it for like a week. And so he decides, well, I might as well make some money while I'm here. So he sets up the tent and the stage. And Steve Martin does a good job, man. He is so convincing. You're like, wow, I just turned on the, you know, Trinity Broadcasting. Wow. But it's obviously he's got people working in the audience to find out details. He's got the people in place that are going to pretend to be healed. And then there's this little boy. He's probably about 12. I can't remember. It's been a while since I've seen the movie. Can't walk. And at the end of the movie, this boy walks. And the final scene is Steve Martin has packed his bags and he's going to leave. And the little boy says, are you running away? And he says, yes, I am. Because I've been doing fake my whole life. And what happened to you is real. It has nothing to do with what I'm about. And I can't do that anymore. So I remember the interview when he was promoting the movie. And I remember exactly what he said. He said, those who are faking it are going to hate this movie. Those who are truly Christians are going to love it. And there was truth to that. I mean, because what it was saying, here's the amazing thing to me. A Hollywood-produced movie that is acknowledging that there is power in God, but also pointing out that there are people who want to take advantage of that. See, when I know that God heals. I know that He does. I don't know why sometimes He does and sometimes He doesn't. I'm not smart enough to figure that out. I know that He sees a bigger picture than I do. But what Jesus did, walking through the streets and people reaching out and touching the hem of His garment and automatically, immediately being healed, there's no faking that. There's no pretending that. That is the power of God reaching out and healing people, rescuing them from their suffering. And I believe He does it today. I've seen Him do it today. Just not the way I see it portrayed on TV. Not the way that I see it done by people who are just trying to raise a lot of money. I think we want to deal with some spiritual applications in this passage. Even though this is a real story, Mark every once in a while breaks into a story and just kind of gives an overview of Jesus' healing ministry. And this is one of those. And he likes to just in the middle of certain stories, he breaks it up and says, oh, and by the way, Jesus went here and a lot of people were healed and a lot of demons were cast out, and then he goes on. But I think there are some spiritual applications that we can come to. The concept of touch is important to Mark, to the Gospel of Mark. Now, I'm not saying that he uses the word a lot. That's not the point. I'm saying he uses it at significant times, like in chapter 1, the leper. The man that Luke tells us he's at the end stages of his leprosy. He's been a leper a long time. A man that's gone through a big part of his life probably without any human contact except for other lepers maybe. Everybody else avoids him. Everybody else, he's supposed to cover his mouth and say unclean, and they walk away from him, around him. This man comes to Jesus, falls to the ground and says, if you're willing, you can make me clean. I think I am convinced. I'm just pretty sure about this one. Jesus could have said, okay, be clean and be done with it. But instead, he reaches out and touches the man. Something that under the old law would have made Jesus unclean.
That's right.
He reaches down and touches the man. See, Jesus came to touch and to be touched. In our story, I think as Jesus is walking through the villages and people are saying, can we touch your hem? He could have said, oh, no touching. Just be healed. He could have done that. I'm convinced of it. But he allows them to touch him. I think that sends us a message, doesn't it? See, the Docetists believed. That's a form of Gnosticism that occurred early on in Christianity. The Docetists believed that Jesus was never truly in the flesh. He just looked like it. That he was just a pure spiritual being that was able to present this physical image. But he never actually touched humanity. That's not the God we serve.
That's right.
The God we serve came and he touched and was touched. Because that's what we need, isn't it? They did this study in Brazil years ago. An orphanage there did this study. They took half of the babies. And half of them, they just took care of their basic needs. They fed them and they changed their diapers. And that was it. The other half, they had their staff take the babies in their arms and rock them, sing to them. The half, even though they were being fed, even though their diapers were being changed, even though they were warm, those babies died. Because as humans, we need touch. We desperately need touch. And not in a bad way. Just recently, somebody was telling me at the church that he was going to a while back. One of the elders was hugging women inappropriately. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about just the very basic human need to be touched. That's what Jesus came and did. I think that's significant. I think that's amazing. And here's another thing. We all know people who are powerless, don't we? I know we kind of resist that. We kind of say things like, well, it's their own fault, don't we? Paul tells us that you're either a slave to righteousness or a slave to sin. Now think about that a moment. You are either a slave to righteousness by the grace of God or you are a slave to sin. That tells me you are powerless. And if you're not powerless, then what in the world do we need the cross of Jesus for? And we all know people out there that are powerless. And they're stuck in some pretty ugly stuff. And yes, they're hurting others. I know they are. And it's distressing. But they're stuck there. They're hurting others and they're hurting themselves. And there's got to be consequences. And I agree with that completely. But they also need to be touched, don't they? And there are others that are suffering severely. See, they know that what they're in is wrong. They know that every time they screw up again, every time they mess up, that they're killing themselves. And they feel it to the core of their beings. And there they are, suffering servants. Severely. Phew. Give me enough time, the words will come. My question is, why aren't we running all over the region and taking them to Jesus? Why? I do not want to imply that everybody here is not doing that. That's not my point. I just want us to think about it. I think we need to be encouraged that this is the battle we are in. This is the war we are in. There are people out there that are suffering and dying, and they don't even know there is a Jesus. Or they've heard about Jesus, but they don't really know what that means. And they're powerless without him. Isn't that why the first step in the 12-step program is to acknowledge that you cannot defeat this problem. That you need a higher power. I think they're right. They need to touch Jesus, which means, by the way, we need to touch them. Have we not become the hands and feet of Jesus? Isn't that what God intended us to be?
Yes.
This Monday, had eight people in my prison Bible study. And one of the guys that came walked in the door. First words out of his mouth was, "Let's see what kind of hypocrite we got today." I'm like, yes, this is going to be good. The next thing he said is, "I'm a heathen." Real good! Yes! I can't remember the name of the religion he told me, but he worships Odin and Thor and 150 plus gods. Apparently he's been to some Bible studies in prison where he was completely shut down. I didn't. See, the only way I'm going to do that is if he becomes disruptive. And because I didn't do that, he heard me say twice, the only way to be saved is through Jesus Christ. He even asked me, so everybody else is going to hell? I said, well, let me tell you what hell is. God has invited you to your home, his home. You spend your whole life saying, I don't believe in God, I don't want to go to his home. When you die, do you want God to force you to come to his home when you've been telling him your whole life you can't, that you don't want to go? No. If you don't go to God's home, you're in hell. Pure and simple. And it's not going to be pleasant. The Bible's very clear about that. But yes, I believe that if you don't go to God through Jesus Christ, you will not make it to heaven, which means you will go to hell. Now, I'm not going to pick and choose who makes that. That's God's job. But I do need to give that message with a loving attitude to people who ask. Every opportunity I get, even if they don't ask. But you see, if I wasn't willing to reach out and touch, if I wasn't willing to allow him to say his piece, if I just shut him down, he wouldn't have heard any of that. See, there are people out there, and they're stuck in some pretty rotten stuff. And I'm not saying we should put ourselves at risk, because we shouldn't. I'm talking about physically, although sometimes I think we do anyway and should. I've told you this before. When I'm out there at prison on a Sunday morning and before I speak, we kind of stand up and go around and greet each other and say, you know, God bless you, and shake hands. But a lot of the guys, you know, they shake your hand and then they kind of pull you in like this. Now, according to the rules, I'm not supposed to even shake their hand. They have a no-touch policy. Now, what am I going to do? Sorry, can't shake your hand. They start to hug me. What am I going to do? Nope, not going to hug you, buddy. You know what kind of message that's going to send? This guy thinks that he's too good to touch me because of what I'm here for. I can't do it. Is there some risk involved? Oh, yes, there is. Because some of those guys are in there for things that could put me at risk. But I cannot not touch them. Because my God touched me, and I'm just as ugly. And I'm just as sinful. So I've got to touch. And I don't get to pick and choose, because God doesn't. He walked down that street, and I can guarantee you a lot of those people reaching out and touching him were filthy, dirty with sin. Sometimes we even pick and choose who we're going to touch in our Christian family. So we're going to take a moment. If you don't want to do this, you don't have to. I'm not trying to put anybody on the spot. But I think sometimes in order for us to get the point, we've got to do more than just hear the message. I'm just asking us for a moment to stand up, shake each other's hand, and sincerely with all our hearts say, God bless you. God bless you today. Because we as humans need desperately to be touched and to touch each other. So if you are so inclined, please join me.